Hi, church. Welcome to our online streaming services. We're so glad you tuned in today.
Yes, we are. As a church, we want to help you grow spiritually. We want to help you grow closer in connections with others. So we're doing some extra things during this time to help you stay connected and to grow in your faith. Two of those things are on Facebook. So if you follow Facebook, Christ Church or Christ Church West, we're doing two different things. On Mondays, Jovan and Chet are doing a Bible study, which has been really fun to be a part of.
It's a good time.
Goofballs, but they're so smart and helpful, and it's a great time. It's at 7 p.m. And then on Wednesdays, we're going to do a little worship time and then prayer time, which will be very helpful.
And we're also offering some weekend classes on Saturdays and Sundays. You can find all of that information on our website, ChristChurchOhio.org, as well as our Christ Church app.
We want to thank you so much for your generosity and the way that you guys just have gone over and above. It's made a tremendous impact in the lives of so many people, so thank you.
Yep.
There are two ways to give. The first is our Christ Church Ohio website, and the second is our Christ Church Ohio app.
Thank you so much for tuning in, church. We will see you right here next week.
That's right.
Dear Heavenly Father, I am grateful to you that your steadfast love has guided us through these difficult times. I'm grateful for the faith and courage this church has shown in serving you. I'm grateful for the amazing generosity that's made it possible for us to help thousands of families who are in real need. Pray that your spirit would rest upon me and I could speak in an encouraging way to the church today. In Christ's name, amen. I have a Harley motorcycle, a 1996. I've ridden it as far north as the Upper Peninsula, as far south as Georgia, as far east as the Atlantic Ocean, and as far west as Memphis, Tennessee. It served me well. It's never broke down. It's got me where I'm going and home. And I like it, but I don't love it. On the other hand, I have an 8-month-old dog. Her name is Zoe, but I call her Zobear. And I love that dog. I do everything, she does nothing but let me pet her, but I love her. We eat cheese together, we go for walks together. Sometimes in the evening when I'm dozing off, she just launches herself onto my chair because she's not getting enough attention. There's a difference between liking something and loving something. We have to be careful when we love objects the way we should only love people. There was a scribe who once came up to Jesus and said, "What is the most important thing?" He actually said, "What is the first and great commandment?" But if I translated it into modern English, I would say, what is the most important thing I should be doing? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. In this time of, in this time where our lives get turned upside down and we can't live our normal patterns of life, I find myself asking, what should I be doing? I find myself being like the scribe. What is the most important thing for me to do today? Because I can't do the schedule I normally would have done, what is the most important thing for me to be doing? And if I take Mark's gospel seriously, Jesus says to me, the most important thing you can do is love. We lose our way sometimes, and we forget that what I love either improves me or ruins me. If I love what I'm supposed to love, I grow richer as a soul. If I squander my love on things that aren't worthy of love, I ruin my soul. I don't need to remind you that the scriptures teach the love of money is the root of all evil. I can ruin myself by loving the wrong things. Not only what I love, but how I love. If I love the way I'm supposed to, it makes me a better man. If I love in selfish and self-indulgent ways, it ruins me. So when Jesus says, love is the most important thing, he's asking us to look at the core of who we are and what we value. So let's take apart what Jesus said. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Jesus said, if you want to do the right thing, it begins by focusing on the true God and submitting to his lordship. If I want to do the right thing tomorrow, if I want to do the most important thing, I begin by turning my focus to God and saying, you are my God and you are my Lord. And today, I want to do the things you want me to do. And then Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. I would call this emotional love. If I'm going to do the right thing, I have to have a genuine emotional love for God. What does that look like? First of all, it looks like affection. I feel in my inner self a genuine affection for God. A genuine affection for the living and true God. I feel also an inclination toward him. The people we love, we feel inclined to. We want to spend time with. True emotional love for God also includes appreciation. If I'm going to love God with my emotional nature, I have affection for him, I have an inclination toward him, and I find it easy to express my appreciation to him. And then Jesus said, you have to love the Lord your God with all your soul. I want to call this psychological love. The love of my psyche. We're all unique persons. We have unique personalities. In fact, it makes it easy for us to relate to some people because the type of personality they have, or sometimes it makes it hard. But the thing that makes us us is this unique personality. And so Jesus said, if you want to do the right thing, then you have to love God with the personality that he's made you. Following a few rituals and doing a few things that everybody does in the very same way, that's not authentic love for God. It has to come from my unique personal self. And then Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind. I call this intellectual love. What does intellectual love look like? It looks like a deep interest in who God is and what he does. I am sometimes discouraged when I talk to people about Christian theology, and I might as well be talking to them about theoretical physics. It's not enough to assume. If I'm going to love God the way he deserves to be loved, I have to show an interest in him. I have to have an interest not only in who he is, but what he does. I think an intellectual love is disciplined thought and learning about God. If I were to ask you, tell me one new thing you've learned about God in the last month, what might you answer? If I were to ask you, how much time did you spend trying to think about who God is and learn about who he is, compared to how much time you spent flipping through your Facebook posts in the last week, what would that comparison look like? You see, if I'm not doing the most important stuff, then it's easy for everything else to fall apart. But when I'm doing the most important stuff, it's also easy for other things to fall into place. And then Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your strength." What does the love of strength look like? Well, first of all, loving God takes life energy. If I'm not putting any energy into my relationship to God, I'm not living in obedient love. Second of all, I think it means we all have personal strengths and abilities. Some people are really good at some things and not so good at others. And God said he wants us to love him using these personal strengths and abilities that he's given us. You might say, this seems a little demanding. But I want to say, God deserves this kind of love. He's only asking for what he rightfully deserves. I want to remind you that Jesus taught us we love him because he first loved us. Any love I give back to God, any emotional love, psychological love, in any intellectual love and energy, any strength love, it is a small fraction of the great love that God has given to us. The scribe only asked what was the most important thing, but Jesus also told him the second most important thing. He said, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. During this time of a danger, I recognize that there are two impulses. There is a very human impulse to simply hunker down. Play it safe. Don't expose yourself in any way. And then there is another impulse that I want to call the divine impulse that says, I have to help. I have to do something to help. Let me put it this way. If you had no groceries and you had no family income and you were facing the prospect of not even having a single bar of soap in your house, would you want people to hunker down or would you want them to try to help you? You see, I want to look beyond myself and I want to say, if I were in that need, what would I want people to do for me? And that's what I want to do. There was a time in my life that I was in a bad accident, and I would have died if people had not donated blood. So because Christ said, love your neighbor as yourself, this week I made an appointment. I went to a site. I went through the whole process, and I donated blood. I just wanted to obey this commandment and do something that was worth doing in this important time. You see, it's not how much do I love God when it's easy, it's how much do I love God when it's challenging. It's not how much do I love my neighbor when it doesn't cost me anything and I'm not afraid, it's how much I love my neighbor when it does cost me something and I am afraid. Then Jesus said, there is no other commandment greater than these. I'm going to tell you, no matter what you're doing in your life right now, nothing at all is more important than the priority of loving God and loving people. I want all of us to just take a moment and ask ourselves, am I doing the most important thing? As I organize my life, as I plan my day, as I try to think ahead, am I doing a lot of things that are of secondary importance and not doing the things that are of primary importance? The scribe, unlike the Pharisees and Sadducees, he agreed with Christ's answer. Mark wrote, the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and that there is no one besides him. To love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. If you were to read this whole chapter, you would see that the Pharisees and the scribes, they tried to trick Jesus with trick questions. And even when he gave them good answers, they wouldn't agree. This scribe is unlike them. He instantly agreed. He agreed that when Christ said, we have to focus on God, that was right. The scribe also said, I agree that we do have to love our neighbors. But he also added this unique thing. To love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. The scribe was saying, just doing religious customs and duties is not enough. You can do all the duties and all the customs, and you can miss the meaning behind them. Mark ended the story by saying, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Jesus affirmed the priority of love. When the scribe answered wisely, Jesus said, you get it. Loving is the most important thing. Church, I want to say it's still the most important thing. What Christ taught those years ago is still directive for us today. If you want to know the right thing to do, do the loving thing. If you want to know the right thing to do, begin every day by focusing some attention on God. Jesus said, to the young man, the young scribe, you are not far from the kingdom of God. You see, love is the entrance to the kingdom of God. First of all, God's love for us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that all the ones who believe in him may not perish, but have everlasting life. I enter into the kingdom of God through God's great love for me. And then I return that love by loving God. Church, if you want to know how to organize your life in this time of an upset schedule, Jesus made it pretty simple. Begin each day by focusing on who God is, and then commit yourself throughout the day to love God the way he deserves to be loved. And then he said, when you love God the way you should, it will come naturally for you to start loving your neighbor as yourself. It'll become more naturally for you to help others the way you would want to be helped if you were in need. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for myself and I pray for this church. I pray that we could hear this important teaching of Christ. I pray that we would take it personally and we would challenge ourselves to love you the way you deserve to be loved. I pray that we would act in faith and hope and courage, and we would continue to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I pray that through all of this, you would draw people into your kingdom the very same way you drew the young scribe. And I ask it in Christ's name, amen.
Hey, church, thanks so much for joining us on our live stream. We are so glad you tuned in.
Yep, we'll see you next week.